So pop the bubbly because today's episode of Prosecco Queens podcast is all about dating smarter, not harder. If you've been tuning in, you know that this podcast is all about real talk, sparkling conversation, and empowering queens like you and the kings that love and support us to live your best life, whether it's in love, career, or just making sure your glass and your standards stay full. Over the past decades, I've explored everything from personal growth to relationships. From these episodes, I've drawn from my own experiences navigating life, love, and everything in between. I started Prosecco Queens because I believe in open, honest conversations, the kind you'd have over a glass of bubbly with your best friends. And today, we've got the perfect guest to join that conversation. Enter Lauren von Driest. Dating coach, self-worth advocate, and expert in helping women attract the kind of love that actually aligns with their values. Lauren is an International Coaching Federation certified coach with a background in human organizational development from Vanderbilt University. And she spent years helping women break out of toxic dating patterns, communicate with confidence, and build relationships that last. Oh, and did I mention she brings mindfulness, manifestation, and real-life experience into her coaching? All the things that we know I love. Basically, she's the dating fairy godmother we all wish we had sooner. Lauren's philosophy is all about shifting your energy, strengthening your decision-making powers, and knowing when to go all in or when to say thank you next. And honestly, that's exactly the kind of vibe we are all about here at Prosecco Queens. So if you're ready to ditch the dating dead ends and start attracting high-quality connections, grab your glass and settle in. Because this episode is about to change the way you look at love. And again, it is my pleasure to have you on the pod, Lauren. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Teresa. And I'm feeling bubbly just listening to that introduction. Thank you.
You're welcome and thank you. I love that. So I am very excited about our convo today because I'm sure I will learn some things and I know our audience will. I think I smell a possible two-parter.
We have lots to discuss.
Lots to talk about, lots to get through. So I want to start with the most basic. And that is your background. I know I give a little background in the intro, but what drew you to this line of work and what is the work that you do?
Yes. So I'm a women's dating coach. I help single women who are ready to find their dream partner and build a healthy, committed relationship, but dating just isn't working for them. So I help them bring joy, confidence, and intention back into the dating process. And the reason why I am so fueled to help women date with more intention is because of how much I struggled in my own dating life. When I was single and dating before I met my husband, when I was 27, I got out of a serious relationship and entered into the unknown.
The void.
Single, yes, void.
Yes.
Being single, dating, and not knowing when I was going to find my partner.
Yeah.
And this phase lasted a little bit longer than I had hoped it would. And through that process, I was constantly finding myself in situationships and dealing with bad behavior from the people that I was meeting. And it really took a toll on my mental health. And I just wasn't receiving the type of love that I knew that I truly, truly desired. I
And
had to take a
deserved.
step back and deserved. Absolutely. We all deserve
Yes.
quality love. And I had to ultimately take a step back and say, okay, we can blame it all on the men, but we don't do that here because I'm the common denominator where we can only control ourselves. And I know that there are good quality men out there. How do I shift how I'm approaching dating in order to find them?
That's unbelievable. Now I know you focus, one of your focuses is dating with intention. Can you put a little color on that for our audience and for me, actually?
Yes, exactly. So often we go into dating thinking we want chemistry, we want vibes, right? We just want someone that we click with. There's nothing wrong with that. All of those things are important. When I say dating with intention, I mean, what are you looking for in a relationship? Do you want to be in a committed, lasting partnership, maybe a marriage if that suits you? Not everybody wants that, but if that's what you want, date with that goal in mind, which
Got
looks
it.
very different than dating casually just to have fun. It
Right.
means getting clear with yourself on what you want out of a relationship. How do you want to feel with your future partner? And having the confidence to express that and be able to identify early on dates 1, 2, or 3, whether the person that you're seeing aligns with not only what you want in a relationship, but also do they match your value system? Do they want to build the same lifestyle that you do? So thinking about it from that compatibility angle.
Now, let me ask you something, because this is something that I struggle with as well. I do. I love chemistry. I told you, I love energy. I love chemistry. I kind of thrive off of that, right? And unfortunately, that hasn't done me great really in the past. I mean, for a little bit, sure. But, you know, after a while, sometimes that can also go astray. Right. And now you're left with sometimes feeling vapid, right? You're feeling kind of just like, okay, that was great for what it was. And now I'm kind of seeing this person for who they really are. But do you feel dating with intention and based on your personal experience as well, once you start shifting your energy, once you start feeling people's energies, because I've mentioned many times on this pod that I love to meet people in person because I like to feel energy. You know, I told you about my situation and we can talk about that a little bit where I was like shaking from the energy, right? And so for me, I wonder if you're dating casually, and obviously you can meet your person that way, but if you're just thinking about chemistry and you're just saying, you know, I have to be super attracted to this person right away and I have to be, this makes me super motivated. If you're not super attracted to somebody right away, right? For any reason. And a lot of us have a bad habit of only looking at that. We don't necessarily pay attention to energy or any of those other things. We have to feel like we're super attracted. How do you get past maybe that fact that you might not be super attracted to somebody right away and actually get to the point that you can find out if you have similar values and beliefs and all that other stuff?
So many good questions.
A lot in there, because it's like there's so much.
So much to this. So first, I'd say let's define the difference between chemistry, energy, and compatibility. Chemistry, I would say, is that initial heat and attraction.
It's delicious.
The flood of all the neurotransmitters that are giving you those feel-good
feelings. That
dopamine,
man. That hit. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not discounting the importance of that. That can be very important in dating. That's what I led with in dating. But what I realized was when that was my primary factor in dating, I was missing out on the compatibility element. And these would be hot and heavy situationships that would fizzle out within a month because we didn't have anything else to back it up. So it depends, what are you dating for, right? And you might not know that going in, but if you want to build a lasting relationship, you also have to look for that compatibility, meaning do they align on your values? Do they have similar worldviews as you? Do they want to live a similar lifestyle? Do they complement you? Do they lift your energy instead of drain your energy? Those are some of the things that are important in terms of compatibility, because chemistry could ebb and flow throughout any relationship. Compatibility is really what's at the foundation of creating lasting love and lasting partnership.
Agreed.
And so let's say you meet someone and from a physical attraction standpoint, you're not quite sure up front, but you can tell that the compatibility is there. Okay, so maybe just give it a few more dates, right? And see if that builds over time. If it doesn't build, okay, then maybe it's not the person for you. But give a chance for that compatibility to outweigh the chemistry rather than leading with the chemistry.
Yeah.
I'll pause there and then let's talk about energy.
I mean, me and you obviously we had like a pre-conversation and I happened to mention that I am big on energy and I love that you were like, oh my God, me too. Right? Because for me, energy is everything, you know, and I've had moments where the energy when we first met was so electric. I thought I was crazy, you know, until 10 minutes later, he texted me and was like, holy crap, did you feel that? And I was like, oh my God, I've never felt like that before, you know, from someone that I've never met before, that I had never talked to before. You know, it wasn't like I had been talking to them and then we met for the first time. It was more like just this crazy, you know, pull. And then it turned into a situationship. And it kind of, once I realized that's what it was about, I kind of decided, whatever, I'm not really looking for a boyfriend right now. Let it be. But that energy was something that shook me, actually, because I would have thought that I would only have that energy with somebody that was like meant for me, right? Somebody that was supposed to be for me, right? Now, we don't know what the universe has in store for us, right? You know, and I still talk to him every once in a while, but in general, it's not even like, you know, we had amazing chemistry, amazing compatibility in other ways, right? And an extreme emotional connection. But other than that, and then that's just, it ended up what it was. But that energy, to this day, we still, when we would talk, still talk about that because it was wild.
Yes. I love that you share this story because it illustrates what it feels like to feel someone's energy. So my motto is be the energy that you want to attract.
Amen.
And oh my gosh. And you know, you talk about this all the time, right?
I love it.
Energy meaning when you walk in a room, how does it feel to be around you?
Yeah.
Right? Are you giving people space to show up as themselves? Are you bringing positivity or authenticity into the room? Or on the converse, are you bringing your tension and your frustration and your road rage into the room?
It's almost like they say that thing that, you know, you can have this gorgeous, attractive, perfectly fit, teeny tiny woman walk in a room and nobody pay attention to her. And then you could have a regular woman, like, you know, ourselves, just anybody walk in the street and they walk in, everybody goes right to them and just is attracted to them. And the other woman's like, well, what's going on here? Why? And it's just because of that energy. You can feel when somebody drains the energy or somebody is when you're just attracted to energy. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why it's such a huge component in dating. And what you described, when someone walks in the room and like heads turn, they're like, who is that? I want to know her. I want to go talk to her. That's what magnetic energy is. When people are just drawn to you based on the essence that you carry with you. And the best way to cultivate that magnetic energy is by living in alignment with yourself, meaning you are living true to your values. You deeply love and trust yourself. Oof. And you have that self-confidence that whatever life throws your way, you can figure it out. And you take care of yourself. You feel supported. Those are some of the things to think about as you cultivate that magnetic energy.
Love it.
And oh my gosh, yes. And why I talk about this so much with dating is because like attracts like, meaning energy attracts someone with similar energy. So, okay, think about this on a negative plane. We all have heard the phrase misery loves company.
It was the one I was going to say too. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. So we know what that looks like, right? When someone's deeply unhappy, they attract more of that, more bad situations happening in their life, more people that also have bad situations happening in their life.
Right.
Right. So what we're aiming for is when you're living truly in alignment with yourself, you are shining and glowing because you just feel good inside and out because you're living true to yourself. That then attracts someone who similarly is living true to themselves. And the way that I work on this with my dating coaching clients is I have them think about how they want to feel in a relationship and then develop those feelings in their life right now. So, for example, let's say you want to feel secure in a relationship. Build that security in yourself. Yes. That could be as simple as keeping your promises and commitments to yourself. So if you say you're going to go work out after work, go do it. Honor that commitment to yourself over and over and over again. You're building security within yourself so you can attract someone who also has that level of security.
And you're right. I say that a lot and I talk about it a lot in the show, how, you know, date yourself, get to know yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just always about just self-care and face mask and all. That's nice because it's taking care of yourself, but actually find out what you like. Find out who you are. Feel, trust yourself. Feel worthy of yourself first. You know, if you like to go to a movie, then just go to the movie. You know what I mean? Like, you want to go and buy yourself a nice dinner, go to a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Just take yourself on a vacation. You know, those kind of things. It's just kind of taking care of yourself so that you can attract somebody who not only may want to take care of you as well, make sure that they put that effort into themselves as well, and then they can also put it into you. And they will understand how important it is that you do that for yourself.
Yes. 100%. Yes. What you're saying is so foundational in attracting a fabulous relationship. When you can love yourself and take care of yourself first, then anyone who comes into your life can see how important that is to you. And it invites them to step up to the plate to say, this is how I treat myself. So I expect anybody in my life to treat me as well as I treat myself.
Love it. And that's how you build up the boundaries.
It's really incredible.
So setting boundaries is really important, right? Like, okay, it's one of those things that you have to do. And the only way to do that is to learn yourself, because you don't know what you don't know until you take care of yourself. And then when someone else comes in, you can say, whoa, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to accept that. And then at that point, then they can make the decision and you can make the decision. Oh, she set the boundary. I'm not going to cross that boundary again. And if they do, then that's on you to say, I told you, I made this very clear. And you make those right decisions for you based on having that clear communication of what you will and will not accept. Am I kind of on the right path there?
Yes, that is such a good definition of what it means to set a boundary, is deciding yourself based on what you will and will not accept, based on how your date is showing up. And think about boundaries in terms of how you engage with them. So you can set boundaries on a few different levels. It could be a communication boundary. If they're not showing up with mutual energy and effort, maybe you stop communicating with them. Or if they're not showing up in terms of building a relationship the way that you want a relationship to feel, then maybe you no longer provide access to yourself, right? Whether that be no more dates, right? Cutting off communication.
Right.
Boundaries can occur on so many levels. It can be access to your body.
Oof.
It can be access to your emotional state.
Yeah.
Even access to finances, right? Like spending money to go out on a date. So you can set boundaries on a lot of different levels, but what enables you to do that is what you described. It's knowing yourself and knowing your own standards of how you want to be treated.
And the body one is big. I've noticed a lot these days, and maybe this is with the real influx of online dating since through COVID, right? That people, I can't believe the amount of people, you know, especially around our age and older, at this point, they're like, I'm just looking to have fun. I get those things, right? What I don't understand is how a lot of these people want access just to a body a lot of the time. I almost feel like there's no conscience in it anymore. They will waste your time, literally. I've had men leave me some of the craziest messages. I'm like, you don't even know my name. I had one guy tell me, what do I need to know your last name for? Why do you need to know my last name? I'm like, you want to sleep with me? You don't even want me to tell, you don't even want to tell me your last name? I'm supposed to allow you to cross. You know what I'm saying? So what is it about this crop? You know, and I speak for women too, because there are women out there doing it too. It's not just men. But what is it with this crop, is the nicest way I could put it, that are just, one, they're so damn forward. Two, they have no filter. And three, they have no interest. And I'm talking even the younger ones too. They just have no interest anymore in doing anything traditional. You know, and traditional could be what they consider traditional. If it's a couple that agrees, there's no whatever. I just mean traditional in the sense of actually wanting to get to know somebody before, you know, just saying, I want to hop in bed with you, or all the stuff I want to do to you. I'm like, could you imagine telling a stranger that? And it's all the time.
Right, right. And I feel like online dating has made that even more pervasive.
And it can be gross. Like, it can be really gross. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. Is it just a generational thing? Or is it just because online dating is just such an easy way to say, screw it. If they say no, I got 72 other options.
Right, right. I wish I could say that I understood why people do that. And I look at it as, okay, many people are coming into the dating world, we'll call it, as a big pool for a million different reasons.
Right.
Right. I met my husband on Tinder, which surprises a lot of people, because a lot of people think of Tinder with a different lens. And I say, you know what? There were as many different reasons to be on Tinder as there are people on Tinder. And True. I used that as one of many dating apps that I was on when I was single.
Two of my closest friends met their husbands on Match. I definitely Exactly. know for a fact it does work for some. Yes.
Yeah. And to me, it was just to be able to find more people to be able to go on dates with. So let's look at this from our listeners' viewpoint, right? So really, again, at the end of the day, you're only in control of yourself, your own reactions, your own behaviors. And if that's a behavior that shows up from someone else and that does not jive with you, do not engage. You don't have to engage with that unless you feel called to. That's your decision.
Isn't it wild, though, that people have more balls than they ever would have? Nobody would ever, I mean, it's so rare that someone would go up to you in the soup, and I say rare because I'm sure it must has happened, obviously, that someone would right. go up to you in the supermarket and be like, oh, do you know what I would like to do to you?
My God.
You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't have the balls to do it. And for some reason, right. it feels like online dating gave people more guts than they would ever normally have. It's wild. It really is.
Yeah. And I feel like because so many women have experienced those kind of unwelcomed messages, people are really burning out on dating apps Ooh. These days, not getting the results that they're looking for. If that's a relationship, they're spending a lot of time swiping, often mindlessly, because dating apps are gamified. It's like a slot machine, right? Yeah. You keep swiping and maybe they send a message or get a match and either there's no response or very minimal effort from the guys put into a response. Very unlikely to actually pan out into a real life date. So it feels like return on investment of energy and time that people are putting into dating apps just isn't panning out. And so I'm seeing women pull away from dating apps and really looking for other ways to meet people to go on dates. So I've been advocating for finding singles events in your city. There's a huge resurgence of singles events that I feel like
I see on top of my Facebook, weirdly enough, that you're saying that.
Yes, there's a huge resurgence, and I'm hopeful that they feel very different than they did 10 or 15 years ago. Yeah. Used to go to speed dating. That's a crazy story.
Wow.
That was 10 or 15 years ago. I'm seeing more of these conscious connection-based communities popping up that are giving people a space that's not an allowed bar to actually have conversations right. and build connections in a more safe space where maybe you know that someone there is going to be single.
That's very cool. Like, you know, I think, and I mentioned to you, and I've mentioned to my listeners probably about a year ago, one of my episodes with my friend Jose, and we talked about how I went on Facebook dating, which I didn't know existed until I accidentally clicked on the little icon and it had a profile yeah. for me. I was like, is this because I'm single or is this always there for everybody? I wasn't sure. And I said, oh, I'd never done any kind of, I wasn't really even looking for anything. I was curious, right? It was kind of like a social experiment. And within 24 hours, I was like, I'm done. I cannot do this. Like, I cannot do it. And I was looking at it with my sister and it becomes very addicting. You're right. It's gamified. And I'm looking at all these guys and they all kind of look the same. And I said to my sister, this kind of guys are kind of my type. What's going on here? And she says, well, are you liking them? And she goes, well, it's the algorithm. Well, this guy looks like this and he's similar to this guy. And I'm going, oh my God, I didn't even think about the fact that they're literally now changing the algorithm to all these, you know, so I'm sitting there thinking on their side, I must just be one of 1,000 faces that I'm popping up on their screen that look exactly the same as well. It blew my mind. And after 24 hours, I was like, it was too much. I tried it again, like a month and a half later, again, out of curiosity to ease my way in. I haven't looked at it since. I closed it off after 24 hours again. I was like, this is too much. It's almost like it becomes an addiction because you're just like, this is fun, you know? And then you start to get these messages and you're like, now I can't even now I don't even know what to do. You know what I mean? At that point. So it's really crazy. And I like the idea of singles events. And so our listeners, I mean, look in your areas, because I did see on Facebook stuff pop up. I'm not necessarily looking for anybody at the moment. So I'm not going to say I'm going to be at any of them anytime soon. However, I have no problem, you know, accompanying somebody there for, you know, emotional support.
Right.
I'll go. Why not? I don't mind meeting new people. Tell me something. We talked about how I was in a situationship, right? Really good, decent guy, beautiful at first. And then after a while, I'm like, oh yeah, now I know you a little more. I was like, you're just like everybody else, you know, and cool dude, really nice, good heart, but you know, got his own stuff going on. And because of that, we didn't necessarily graduate into any kind of relationship, which in a way is good in for us, right? So for people that are not looking for a situationship, and we know they're very rampant these days, right? What would your definition of a situationship be? And how do you think it differs from a traditional relationship? And what are some signs to realize that you're actually in one?
Yes. Ooh, such good questions, because it's a term that's thrown around. So let's talk about what this actually means. When you meet someone, you start hanging out, you start doing the things that you would do in a dating process,
right?
Likely. And you either don't have a conversation to align on where would you like to go? Meaning, do you want to someday be in a committed relationship? There are any number of reasons why people might go out and want to date and want to connect. So we never want to assume that they want the same things as we do. That was my mistake in dating. I knew that I wanted to be in a committed relationship, and I just assumed, we're going on dates, we're spending lots of time together, the chemistry is there, it feels like we're really connecting. Oh my gosh, this must be going someplace.
Right, of course. But that's not abnormal. That's completely what a normal, warm-blooded person would think, right?
Yeah. Right. But I was operating under assumption that they wanted the same thing that I did. And I never stopped to actually ask. This is why people say communication is the most important thing in relationships.
Agreed.
You assuming does not get you usually what you want.
No.
Right? You really have to ask. And in a nice way, in a safe way that encourages dialogue, to understand what are they hoping to get out of this dating process. Right. Because otherwise, I was building a fantasy in my head that never panned out. And then a month in, when I was ready to start, you know, taking it to the next level, and they said, oh, wait, I don't want anything serious. I'm like, ooh, I wish I knew that 4 weeks ago before I built a whole fantasy in my head.
Exactly. And, you know, I love a good fantasy. I mean, in every Disney movie, in every couple that you meet somebody, you fall in love, you have your knight in shining armor, you know, and you don't have to be the damsel in distress, but you get your man, right? Eventually you get your man, who really ends up being shallow and vapid. If you look at any of those princes, that's just what they were anyway, right? And I think that's my opinion, a lot of what happens to situationships too, right? You waste your time building this person up, building this relationship up, and then you wonder as well, is it a self-esteem issue, right? Why would you be okay spending that time with me, but you don't want anything with me? What is it about me that you don't want this with, right? It's never about you saying the other person, just it's really nothing on me. And I think that takes a lot of that self-awareness that you have to learn to date with intention, to realize that it's really not about you.
Exactly. And so many women try to convince themselves, and they say, if I prove that I'm worthy of being loved, then he'll love me. Or if I just show up and I'm good enough, meaning I've bent and shaped myself to exactly what I think he wants, then he'll date me, then he'll commit to me. No, that is a recipe for disaster. I learned that lesson way too many times. Too.
And it's heartbreaking when I look back at that woman. Yes. And I say, who was that woman trying to be someone she's not for a man? And then sometimes you look at who the man was and you go, are you serious? Are you serious? Like, why? Why? What? Because we get into that mode where it's like, it has to be about me. So if somebody's in a situationship that wants to get out and they feel like just stuck I mean, what is your advice for someone who's like, I actually love them. I'm actually in this relationship and this situationship, and I actually love this person, but I know I'm never going to get anything out of it. And I realize now I can't do this anymore. What would your advice be to them, to that woman or to that man?
Yes. Start by pouring energy back into yourself. Really, like, take the time to take care of yourself, tune into your own needs, start building that self-love back up because it's probably been eroded in a situationship.
You're right.
And you've probably muted your own intuitive voice that's telling you what you need. So start listening to it again. And then you can come back to your situationship from that place of more self-worth and empowerment and say, actually, I deserve more, right? I this is what I want in a relationship, and this isn't giving that to me. So I need to cut it off, or I need to set a boundary around it. So there is a lot of courage that it takes, because when we get stuck in these situationships, especially if it's been going on for months and months, it can feel like I'm never going to get anything more than this. You know, if I give this up, oh my gosh, I have to start from scratch again.
Oh, I feel that. That's upsetting. It is.
Yeah,
It really is.
really comes back to choosing yourself, because you are worthy of more. You know that you have more love to give, and you want to receive that back. So it's a reminder for every woman and every man, right? You deserve to be in a healthy, loving relationship with someone who chooses to be with you every day.
Oh. Say it again for the people in the back who chooses to be with you, not someone you are begging to be with you and stay with you, and they're just doing it because they feel bad or they're trying to be nice or whatever.
Or if you're giving them the girlfriend treatment without the title of girlfriend, well, they're enjoying it. They're not going to cut
That's
you
right.
off.
That's right. They're enjoying every bit of that side of the bed is mine, and she don't have another man in there because she thinks I'm her man. Yet I'm doing God knows what when I speak to her every week, every 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Oh my goodness.
Exactly. So you have to decide, you know, what are your boundaries of what are you only willing to give to someone if you're in an exclusive relationship,
That's
right?
hard too. I've read a lot of self-help. I love self-help. I love stuff. I mean, I read five books at a time. It's ridiculous, but all different types of genres, right? And I feel a lot, and I've talked about it again as well on my other episodes. I feel that a lot of times they say the first thing to do, and I think I heard you mention it as well, is if you're not one getting something that you want out of it, out of somebody, right? You feel like somebody is just not giving you the attention that you think you deserve, that you know you deserve, not think, that you know you deserve, that for any reason that you're just putting in more time than they are, to just to pull back your energy, completely pull back your energy, right? And you've said it to focus on yourself. So my question is, when do we feel that that's worthy to do that for a person, right? Like, how do we know, in your opinion, who's worthy of just pulling back or who's worthy of saying, I'm done with you? Isn't it a game to say, I'm gonna pull back my energy, and then he's gonna go, oh no, she's not paying attention to me, and he's gonna come back. And then now we're starting something else, and it's like, oh no, and now he's pulling back again. Doesn't it become like a weird game of cat and mouse in a way?
Ooh, good question. Good question. Because I am not someone who advocates for games. I don't like
I don't like them either.
manipulation in the dating process at all. So, I would say this is about regrounding in self-love and being able to tune into your own intuition and make decisions based off of that. We so often have blinders on when we are caught up in that chemical cocktail of all the
I do love it.
neurotransmitters that come in that chemistry. And so sometimes it's really hard to take those blinders off. So I think coming back to yourself, tuning in, and really sitting with yourself and saying, is this everything I want in a relationship? Do I feel truly loved, truly cared for, truly supported, truly seen, understood, and chosen by this person? And if the answer is no, then that's where you have to have the courage to say, I know it's scary to cut this off, but it is so worth it. to be able to find someone who will give you all of that. That's what I had to do. I was single and dating in these situationships well into my 30s. And I finally had to come to terms with myself and say, this isn't the type of love and relationship that I want. I know deep in my soul, I want an incredible love in my life, an incredible partner. And I had to like draw a line, like for myself, for the universe.
Yeah, the universe is, yep.
My energetic up level and say, I am no longer tolerating any kind of relationship that does not align with what I truly want. Which means I say no to anybody that is giving situationship vibes, that's not looking for commitment. And I'm only available to the people that want commitment. So, of course, then I met my husband very soon after that, because energetically, yeah, I was ready for that. I
That's
was
right.
open to a person who wanted to be in a committed relationship.
That's right. I think about just a little over a year ago, I would say, when I started in that situationship, I had just been coming off of the breakup of my marriage with the man I thought was the love of my life, right? So then I was kind of sowing my wild oats for a while. And even after that, it was more of a comfort to me, right? It was that feeling of, I need to feel like I'm wanted, like I'm desirable. Because this man, for so long, because of what he was doing, I felt like I put all his crap on me and I made it about me. Right? Oh, I'm not attractive enough and all this kind of stuff. And then I went out and I was like, well, I'm going to feel real good about myself and I'm going to have fun. And I did. When I wasn't looking for this situationship, that's when it kind of popped up and that energy popped up. Right. And I would say like the first 3 months, it was very like hot and heavy, but there were times at that point too, that I wouldn't speak to him for a while. And I remember thinking to myself, and again, I didn't even have the thought of situationship in my head. For me, who had not dated in a very, very, very long time, before even situationship even had a title, right? I didn't even realize that might be what it was. And I used to dwell so much on, why is he not calling? It's got to be me. Oh my God. You know, never once at any point, I was just falling back into that same rhythm I was in.
Right.
Instead of saying, you know what? Let it go. It's nothing on you. It took me about 6 months to say, hell no, no.
This is the problem.
And I know damn well I deserve better than that. And I made that very obvious and I said it. Once I realized I made that conscious choice to stay in that situationship, meaning more of a friend, when we hang out, we see each other, great if we talk, but now I don't dwell on it anymore. It doesn't hurt me anymore. Right. You know, I shifted that energy to the point that I'm like, you do you, I'm gonna do me, and good luck to you. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you're dating and when you're online dating or dating in general, right? I know for me now what a lot of red flags are, right? So in general, what would you consider immediate red flags? And a caveat to that, we know that there's a lot of narcissists out there. There's a lot of serial daters. There's a lot of serial baby daddy's looking to knock up more women. There's all those things out there, right? And they will put on a show for a while. At that point, some people are hooked. So how does someone avoid serious red flags? And once you see them, how do you break free of those and decide what it is you will or will not accept?
Yes. Such an important thing to explore. I would say the very base of it, are they respectful to you or not? And if they're not respectful, it's an immediate goodbye.
Agreed.
Red flag.
Agreed.
Right. And then I would say, you know, for some of those more long game things that you described, like a narcissist or love bomb
love
or things
bomber.
Like that, I think I'm going to say the same thing, that it comes back to that self-love. Because if you have a rock solid foundation in yourself,
right,
then it is easier to say, hey, something might be off here. Because those type of daters, someone who's dating like a love bomb or a narcissist or whatever, they're looking for vulnerabilities to latch on to.
Yes, they are. Yes.
And so a vulnerability could be, if you don't feel like you are worthy of full, healthy love, right, then they can latch on to that and make this show like they're giving you everything that you need. You can't get this from anybody else. But really what you want to watch out for is, are they trying to distance you from your own inner truth? Are they trying to distance you from your friends and family who might be, you know, outside perspectives,
right,
to kind of check you on what's going on? So think about that. Do you feel like you can fully show up as your amazing, unique self and feel empowered to do that? Or do you feel like you have to bend and shape yourself or shrink yourself?
Shrink yourself.
Be with this person. If
yes.
you feel like you're shrinking and you start noticing you're holding your tongue on things, or you're suppressing your needs, you're not asking for what you want, those are all things to watch out for, to say maybe, or your gut is telling you something doesn't feel quite right.
And I always say, gotta listen to that intuition. That
yes.
intuition, we as women, and again, I'll say for men, I don't really know for men, but I know for a fact for women that is a superpower, and we just have to tap into it. And it's not always easy to do. That takes self-awareness and practice and really listening to that gut feeling that, you know, can save people's lives. I mean, let's be realistic.
Yeah.
It can save your life. For our listeners, you know, if you're not sure what a narcissist is, or if you're a narcissistic abuse relationship, I do have an episode about that. You can look and, you know, check on my page, and you can see that there. It's a long episode, but it is truly worth it because I survived that narcissistic relationship actually more than once. Please go and check that out because it's really important. People out there really, I mean, there's genuine, wonderful people out there, of course, that are in the same, you know, situations we are. Sometimes you just want someone to talk to, a companion. There's nothing wrong with that, but a lot of us sometimes get just completely wrapped up in these situationships that some are narcissistic, others are just opportunistic, right? So we have plenty of scammers out there. Be real careful online. Oh my gosh, I say always. That's just really a crazy thing. It's like some of the stuff, you know, people that DM you when you find out they're like in Nigeria somewhere, but they're pretending to be somebody, you know, somebody in the army. I've had a few send stuff to me, and I'm like, yeah, okay. I've had to prove to them I know who you are. So there's a lot of stuff out there. Please do your research and be careful online. I really wanted to put that disclaimer out there because, you know, as many good people as there can be, and as much as you can find the love of your life as you were blessed to do so, you know, for the one you might find, there could be 25 that are just opportunistic, and really could hurt somebody. I think that's part of the reason we talk about communication, right? And red flags, because the only way I feel, and again, from experience, now that I've gotten past certain parts of my life and I've done a little bit of the dating here and there, people can only fake nice for so long, you know, before little bits start to come through, old habits start to show up that you were like, that's new. And I think it's really interesting that so many of our experiences in dating or relationships is just does so much shaping of who we are, you know, and our
yes.
clarity sometimes, you know. And I think it's important for women and for men to really, really learn yourself. It just makes no other sense otherwise. And it's a process. It's painful. I'm not even going to pretend it's not painful. You know, I still have moments where I go back, and a lot of times it's when I'm around my exes that all of a sudden I feel myself being triggered and getting pulled back. And I thought about what you said, and that was today, actually. I think I was talking to my daughter's father, and I just all of a sudden I was in my 20s again, married to this man who was just a mess and I couldn't stand, and I was just trying to escape from. And I was just like, why am I letting you in my energy? Why am I letting you bother me? I'm the common denominator. That's my biggest problem. I'm the common denominator. So it made me go back and say, well, I know I wasn't the problem. Okay, let's put it that way, because they have documented, diagnosed problems, right? So that wasn't on me. But every single time, to this day, that they still gaslight me, they still make me look like I'm crazy because now I'm getting all excited because they're triggering me again.
See it now.
I can see it now. And that to me is the hardest thing about being, I think, really being self-aware. Once those rose-colored glasses come off, what I just talked about today's episode, when those rose-colored glasses come off, I am the poster child for regression. I really am, because it depends who I'm around. I sometimes shrink back into this person and I go, oh, no, absolutely not. You know for a fact who you are, and I'll be that person. And I think with red flags, that's really important to have, is that self-awareness enough to go, absolutely not. This it does not align with me at all.
Yes. And that's why dating in your 30s, your 40s, beyond, or dating after divorce,
Oof.
honestly, I feel like can be so much more empowering because you know yourself better,
Right.
because you know what you're no longer willing to tolerate in a relationship, and you can then open yourself up to what you do want in a relationship. You have more clarity. Hopefully, if you've given yourself the gift of that self-discovery, you can have more clarity going in to really, again, be more intentional about what you're looking for in a relationship.
In your opinion, would somebody who's starting over, whether it's divorce, whether it's a death, God forbid, whether it's just a breakup in general, a significant breakup, right? How does someone rebuild their self-esteem? How does someone rebuild their confidence? And other than, I mean, we know that there are self-love practices to do that because we know that's number one, right? That should always be. But even when you're so sunk in the ground, you're so defeated. You are grieving. You don't know how you're going to move on with your life without this person. All of a sudden, they could have been the worst person in the world, but all of a sudden now you're going, maybe they weren't so bad. Maybe they weren't so bad, right? Your entire identity goes out the window. So for someone who's starting over after a significant breakup, how do they get themselves back? How do they find that deep place that all of a sudden they stop crying and they go, it's okay to miss this person because I miss what I thought we had. I miss what we did have, but now I need to move on. And it's so important to do that before jumping back into the dating scene. So, what are your opinions on that?
Yes, and I love that you use the word identity, because I think when we're in a couple, right, that becomes a part of our identity.
Oh, yes.
And so it becomes an effort of reclaiming your identity as an individual. Let it be fun. Go explore who you are now, because you're different than the last time that you were single. So these,
Oh, yes.
also, like you said, listening to those little nudges of like, do you want to go to that movie? Okay, treat yourself. Go to the movie, even if it's by yourself. Do you want to go try out that new restaurant in town? Go try out that new restaurant. Go sit at the bar by yourself and have a solo date night. It's listening to all those little nudges of allowing yourself to be like, what would feel really good for me right now? What would I love to do right now? What do I want to explore? And just following them one by one by one. It's going to be a process,
Yes,
right?
and
It,
it's
this is not
painful.
an overnight thing. Yeah. It's also like find, so that's, refinding yourself, but also refinding your support system. Often that might mean reconnecting with your friends or your family, or even finding a new supportive community that you can explore more of yourself and expand more of yourself. I'm curious, how have you worked through that process in your life?
In the beginning, I was so lost. It had me physically sick. I gained a ton of weight. And I'll tell you what, you get to an age that is a lot harder to get off. I'm still struggling. But I made myself all about, I thought that I was about me until I lost that piece of me. And then I realized I'm only about him. And I was like, how the hell does that happen? And in the beginning, I was in such denial. In the beginning, I was like, I don't care what was done, what happened. I'm not giving up on this relationship. I didn't want to get married the second time. I got convinced to do so, and now I have to fight this through. And I did everything from going to psychics. I'm a very spiritual person, so all those things to me weren't crazy. I had to remove him. I literally had to extricate him from my household because of what it was doing to me. And even then, I was like, I need to know right now. Is everything going to be saved? Is everything going to go back? I did everything. And then one day I'm talking to my friend Jose, and he said to me one time, and I'll never forget, he said, do you know the opposite of love and hate? And I said, what? And he said, indifference. He said, as soon as you start to feel indifferent, when you realize you're giving everything and still getting nothing in return, that's when the pain starts to subside.
Wow.
That's when you start to come out of that shell and realize you have to focus on you. He said, when you can think about your ex, and it's not that you may not or may not love them still. You may or may not hate them. But when you can look at them and literally feel just completely nothing, like indifferent, not numb, because we know numb is avoidance, right? Just purely indifferent. Like, wow, I don't believe you mattered so much. Again, take off the rose-colored glasses.
Yes.
That's when you can finally say, wow, I need to take care of myself. And that's exactly what happened with me. And it took me some time. It definitely did. And now sometimes you ever see those memes that you ever see those memes that the woman is like, or someone says, my goodness, ever look at your ex and wonder what the hell I was thinking? Or why did this person make me so weak in the knees to begin with? Right. Once you get to that point, to me, that was the catalyst I needed. Him saying that was the catalyst I needed. It's just the opposite of love and hate is just indifference.
How powerful.
Yeah.
To have that shift and be able to work beyond the grief, because of course there's grief when you're losing a relationship. And I'm sure you're experiencing a range of emotions, right? Everything from love and hate to in between.
Yeah.
And that shift, it's almost a detachment to say, like, ooh, they no longer control my emotion or my energy or how I'm showing up in the day. Yeah. I get to decide that.
Yeah, it was
taking the power back.
Yeah, it was so freeing. And that's something that I loved about it, was taking the power back, saying, I don't need to anymore be about you, because that wasn't enough for you either. Right? Indeed. Like, it didn't matter what I did for you. It didn't matter what I did to myself for you. It didn't matter that I nearly killed myself to get you help to do the things you needed. It didn't matter, because you still were going to do what you were going to do. Yeah. And now you deal with the consequences. I'm not dealing with the consequences anymore. And, you know, of course, my situation was very traumatic, very, very traumatic. I think every breakup shapes you in some type of way. You know, like, I know a lot of women that they've never been married, but they've been in relationship after relationship, significant relationships.
Right.
And it really starts to shape your view of the next relationship. And it's really interesting. And I'm so happy for you that you were able to find your person, because
thank you.
Really not easy out there to do. And I want so much. I think so much we need in this world, people who just want to give love, want to accept real love.
Yeah.
And can really give themselves happily to somebody, so that that person doesn't have to add anything else to them. They can just be happy with them. I think that what you're doing for women is wonderful. I have one more question to ask you, because I'm curious about the starting over. For people that are, again, either trying to start over, or in general, just going out there, whether it could be the first time, you know, what are some serious pitfalls that someone should look out for or avoid when starting over, or when dating, or whatever the case may be?
Good question. Well, part of the process that I lead women through in dating coaching, of course, starts with that foundation of self-love, the energy. Then the next piece is healing your past dating patterns. So it's right, just like you're talking about, when you're coming out of these really serious relationships, you're so shaped by those relationships. Oftentimes, we tend to seek out the same type of relationship, and it's unconscious. We don't even realize that we're doing it.
Yes.
So there really is a need to take a closer look at, why did you attract those type of partners, right? Was it, every relationship is a mirror. It's holding up a mirror to show us something about ourselves. So now I want to caveat, right? If you're in like an abusive relationship or a narcissist relationship, please do not take that as it's your fault. That's not the message that I'm sending here.
Agreed.
But relationships can hold up a mirror to help illuminate things in ourselves, to help us learn more about ourselves. So it's really important to look back and say, okay, how was I showing up that felt like a good match at the time?
Yes.
And
good point. Yeah.
Especially if you tend to date the same guy over and over again, just with different names.
I told you I love a bad boy.
Right? Like digging into those patterns and saying, okay, what is it about that I was attracted to? Right? How can I shift away from that and do some healing around that? If that type of relationship wasn't serving you, right? Caveat that, then how can you show up differently to attract a different type of relationship or a different dynamic? I think that's an important pitfall that people tend to get back into the same type of relationship. Yes. Because it feels familiar. Our brains love familiarity, even if it was bad for us. It's familiarity, even if it's chaos or whatever, rather than choosing the good. So we have to consciously choose something better for us.
I love that.
And you know what? I keep using the word choose here. And I want to come back to this because when I think about my marriage, I'm 2.5 years in, so still pretty
new. Oh, you're still newlyweds.
Yeah, still newlyweds. But we both look at it as we choose to be in relationship with each other every single day. And the hope is that we continue to choose for the rest of our lives. Right. But really, like, this is a conscious choice. I never want to be in a position where we're just running on default or running on auto drive and taking each other for granted.
Right.
We really choose to show up in our relationship every single day.
It's beautiful. The point of that is so when you're making that conscious choice, nobody feels like they are in a situation they don't want to be. Right?
Right.
That shows that you can have that communication when any of you is not happy about something. All of that is a choice because you're like, this is who I want to be with, right? People have choices to do stuff that they shouldn't do that ruin and destroy. And the fact that you and your husband are so keen on having that communication and choosing to do that, I pray for future blessings. Like I really do for you and
Thank
your wonderful
you.
Marriage. I really do. I realized I did have one more question because again, I speak about this all the time. I live it. I do live it myself and it takes practice. I know in your practice of helping others, it says that you use mindfulness and manifestation within your practice. So would you mind giving listeners just an idea of what that means for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So with the mindfulness, it's actually a lot of what we've talked about here today around tuning into yourself. So I offer guided meditations to help women tune into themselves and be able to identify how they feel or identify what they want or need. And I think that's really, again, at the foundation of dating from a place of empowerment, mindfulness and self-awareness.
For the people in the back.
Yes. And then from a manifestation standpoint, really the whole process is around becoming that energetic match to the partner that you want, like we talked about. So how are you showing up? What energy are you bringing in? And of course, healing your past patterns and shifting your identity to open up your system, like your nervous system, to say deserve to be in this type of relationship that you do want, that is available to me, that is safe for me, rather than choosing familiar chaos or unsafe.
Is rewiring, right? It's rewiring of your brain. If someone can be brainwashed one way, you can be brainwashed the other, and you can easily brainwash yourself into being a better version of yourself. Why not take the power of that and turn it on its head, right? Do the opposite of everything you've been doing. Like, you know, if you're out there and you're doing all this stuff and you're like, I don't get why I'm not getting anybody good. It's because, okay, look internally first. Say to yourself, I'm deserving. Pray for your future husband.
Yes.
Pray for the man that you already know is out there. You just have to find each other, you know?
Exactly.
Because, or your future wife, whatever it may be, pray for that person because that person could be anywhere. That person could be in the Dollar Tree and standing at the grocery line with you. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you were on here. Can I shout out the earrings. Okay. Lauren came completely prepared with the Prosecco earrings, and I'm jealous because I need a pair. I'm going to go find me a pair. I love them so much, and thank you so much for wearing them and looking lovely, and I'm so glad that we're able to have this conversation.
Yes, my Prosecco earrings I actually wore on my wedding day at our reception because truly I am a bubbly Prosecco queen myself and really just love it.
Everybody can be a Prosecco queen. If you're exactly. a queen, if you believe in yourself, if you're out there doing badass things, you are a queen. If you're doing nothing but being an amazing person in the world, you are a queen. And we yes. share so much queen energy and we put that energy out there. And I want to wish good luck to everybody in the dating world because I don't know when or if I'll feel like joining that again. But if there's still breath in my lungs, I'm sure I'll try again at some point.
I would leave that, you know, parting words for our guests that if you want romantic love, go find it. You deserve it. You are worthy of it. And it is absolutely available for you. Sometimes you just need an example of it, an expander, a role model to show you what's possible. So keep the faith, keep going, and you will find the love that you deserve.
And in those wonderful words, ask you, where can our listeners reach out to you? And I'll also put it in my show notes so everybody knows, but where can they find you, get your services if they like, read more about you, etc., etc.?
Yes, you can find me on my website, laurenfondriest.com, and on Instagram at laurenfondriest.
Wonderful. And that's a wrap on today's episode of Prosecco Queens Podcast. So to our audience, if you're walking away from this conversation feeling more confident, more intentional, and a little less willing to entertain situationships, then mission accomplished. Dating isn't just about finding someone. It's about finding yourself first, setting standards, and honor your worth, and make sure that every yes you give is one that actually serves you. A huge thank you to Lauren Fondriest for sharing her wisdom, your energy, and all the game-changing tools to help us date with purpose. If today's conversation spoke to you, be sure to check her out for even more guidance on how to attract the love you truly deserve. And as always, if you love this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. It helps keep the Prosecco flowing and the conversations growing. Connect with me on social media and on YouTube at Prosecco Queens Podcast or at ProseccoQueensPodcast@gmail.com. And let's keep the discussion going. Until next time, keep your standards high, your energy magnetic, and your glass full. Cheers to loving yourself first and attracting the kind of love that's worthy of you. See you next time, Prosecco Queens fam. Peace out.